What is the service most acceptable to God? It is the service of the heart. And what is the service most acceptable to man? Again, it is the service of the heart. Unless the heart goes with it, the worship of God is no more than the perfunctory routine of a ritual which never comes to life. The words fly up, the thought remains below. And the service of man too, unless it carries with it the service of the heart, remains cold, unproductive, and unremunerative. It is the heart of man which bestows the miracle of grace upon all that we say to God and upon all that we do for man. There is a beautiful phrase in the Talmud, Rachamana Liba Ba'i. The merciful one, God, requires the heart. God looks into the reins and into the heart of man, says the psalmist, and searches them. For man sees with the outer eye, Varonai yire la levav, but God looks into the heart. When Hannah, the mother of Samuel, prayed to God out of the distress and the bitterness of her lonely heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. And Eli, the priest, observing her, took her to be a sort of a drunken woman and rebuked her. But Hannah was pouring out her soul before the Lord. And God saw what the physical eyes of Eli the priest did not see. For God looks into the heart of man. Sometimes a man will earnestly wish to do something good, something fine and noble, and he's unable to do it. Sometimes a poor man would like to give charity, and he's unable to do it. And people who do not know how poor that man is, because a man's poverty is not always revealed to the eyes of men, will condemn him for lack of charity, for niggardliness. But God looks into his heart and rewards that poor man as if he had given the charity which his heart prompted him to give. For God credits us not only with what we do. Sometimes we strive earnestly to do a thing and fail altogether or succeed only in part. But God credits us with what we sincerely would like to do, but are unable to do. The There is another fine phrase of the rabbis. Kol Adam, every man. Eino chayav ela keshiuro. Every man is obligated to do only that which his capacity permits him to do. No man is obligated to do more than his capacity. It is up to man himself, in all soul searching of his inner self, to discover what his true capacity really is. No man is obligated to do more than he is able to. In the matter of prayer, for example, the rabbis say that a man should pray in a synagogue. The rabbis place great weight upon public worship in a house of prayer, because public worship, community worship, worshiping together, makes for community prayer. You pray with your fellow men, and you come to pray also for your fellow men. You become aware of the needs common to all of us, and you're united with your fellow men in the brotherhood of human needs and human suffering and human sympathy. Your prayers will not be entirely centered in yourself. It is very interesting to note that most of the prayers of Israel, most of the prayers of our people throughout the ages, most of our prayers in our prayer book are in the plural, not in the singular. Borcheinu, bless us. Ovinu, our Father. Kulonu, all of us. Ke'echod, like one. The psalmist said, Elohim nitzav ba'adat el, God is present in a congregation worshiping God. And of course, the song and the music and the ceremonies and the surroundings tend to stimulate the spirit of devotion and create a mood for prayer. And so, in the matter of prayers, the rabbis urge men to pray in a synagogue. But if they cannot pray in a synagogue, if conditions do not permit it, pray, they said, in the field where you're working, at your work. If you cannot pray there, pray in your home. If you cannot pray there because of the distractions in the home, then pray on your couch, commune with your heart in silence. What is important is not the place, nor the occasion, nor the length of the service of prayer, but the wish to pray, the intent to pray, the earnestness and the sincerity of upreaching to God and the communion of prayer. Many people pray neither in a synagogue nor in a temple nor in the silence of their hearts. They may belong to a congregation, but they do not belong to the congregation of those who worship God. The service of the heart consists of two things according to our faith. It consists of prayer, and it consists of acts of loving kindness. That service. It is written in the book of Deuteronomy, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. With all thy soul, the rabbi said, means, even if it means the sacrifice of your very life. In hours where martyrdom alone will attest to the sincerity of your faith. With all your might means with all your possessions. But with all your soul means tefillah, prayer. And our sages had many profound things to say about prayer. Why should a man pray? A man should pray for the privilege of being alive and sharing in the thrilling adventure of life. That's the principal reason for prayer. Al kol neshima uneshima, for every breath, she'adam, no shame that a man breathes. Tzarich lekales et yotzro. A man should give thanks and praise unto his maker. Prayer, my dear friends, in the main and in its highest ranges is thanksgiving. To pray is not necessarily to pray for something. In the time to come, the rabbis say, all prayers will be annulled, except the prayer of thanksgiving. The perfect prayer is a grateful thought to heaven. It is not when man is asking God for favors that he prays. But when man is thanking God for the supreme favor of life and for the ineffable glory of the universe and for all its enchanting pageantry and for all the boundless opportunities to work and to grow and to serve, to be alive in God's wonderful world. One of the great rabbis, Rabbi Judah, who edited the Mishnah, declared, in the spring, when a man goes forth and sees beautiful trees swaying in the air, he should stop and offer our prayer. Blessed is the Lord for having created a world in which nothing is wanting and for having fashioned living things and beautiful trees and plants to delight the heart of man. Worship in Israel, my dear friends, was song, joyous song. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing. The Hasidim, the pious men who belonged to that interesting sect of the 18th and the 19th century in Eastern Europe, the Hasidim often referred to the verse in the book of Deuteronomy, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, therefore you shall serve your enemies. The true service of God must be one of joy and gladness. It must glow like a flame. The darkness of life, of course, was not unknown, certainly not among our people. And the shadow of death, the vast sorrows, the tears, the wrongs, the anguish, and the many broken hopes of men. They faced up to them. But the spirit of man was taught by our faith never to be utterly cast down. Hope in God. The human heart should deeply feel that God will at last wipe away all tears. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Why then should a man pray? Because he is a child of God and a co-worker with God in creation. And if he is aware of that privilege and of its numberless opportunities, he will be inclined to offer prayers of thanksgiving, the thanksgiving of a grateful heart. They had many other profound things to say about prayer, our sages. Does God answer prayer? Yes, of course God answers prayer. Always? No, not always. Nor in the manner of our petitioning. Sometimes in our ignorance we pray for things not at all for our good. And our prayers are denied us for our good. God is just and wise and merciful in all his doings, though no man can comprehend his ways. And remember, our sages warned us, remember, we have no claim upon God. Will God change the order of the universe in response to our prayers? If we knew, really knew, what the order of the universe is, physically and spiritually, then we could answer, perhaps, that question. But no mortal man, the wisest, the most scientific, no mortal man really knows what the order of this universe is. Will God perform miracles? Here again, a mysterious word is employed to account for seemingly unaccountable phenomena. But the blind have been known to see, and the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk, at the behest of prayer and faith. And science has been carefully investigating these phenomena. And science is today far less dogmatic in brushing them aside or in trying to explain them on purely physical grounds. Who knows the real power of prayer? That men and women have been helped by it and are being helped by it daily is an all too common a phenomenon to be called into question. Many things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Our faith categorically declared, Baruch Ata Adonai, blessed art thou, O Lord, Shomea Tefillah, who hearest prayer. And it is well not to try to reach beyond this perspective of faith, for beyond it is nothing but a great darkness. The eminent Jewish philosopher Bachya of the Middle Ages, who wrote a book interestingly called the Chovot HaLevavot, the Duties of the Heart, Bachya declared, it is proper for you to know, my brother, that the aim of our devotion in prayer consists in naught save the soul's longing for God, humbling itself before him, and extolling the Creator with praise and gratitude, and casting all our burdens upon him. And I think when all is said and done, that is the heart of real prayer. If a man prays and his prayer is not answered, say the rabbis, let him continue to pray. For it is written, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord. And a man's prayer should not be routine. Words repeated by rote. There is no sacramental value just in repeating words called prayers. A man's prayer should be heartfelt, should well up from the deep recesses of the soul, should have kavana, intent, fervor. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands to God. The heart, always the heart. Some time ago, I read a story written by a Yiddish author in the Hasidic mood, against the background of the mystic faith of these pieties. It was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and the whole community was assembled in the synagogue for worship. And their tzaddik, their spiritual leader, their Wunderrebbe, with them. And they'd prayed all through Kol Nidre Eve. And they'd prayed all through the day, but somehow the tzaddik felt, and the entire congregation felt, that the gates of prayer were locked. They were not opening up. The prayers were not reaching up to the throne of mercy. And they intensified their prayers as they approached the hour of Ne'ilah, the final service. When the prayer of all hearts cried out, Petach lanu shar, open unto us the gates of heaven, now that the gates of the day are closing. But somehow it appeared as though the heavens were leaden, and the gates remained shut. And in the congregation there was a young lad, an orphan, who had been raised somewhere on a farm, illiterate. He could not distinguish between an aleph and a beis. He could not pray. Yet he was moved by the spirit of the congregation on that high holy day. He felt the mood of the congregation, the desperate mood of a people whose prayers were being rejected. And he wanted to pour out his soul in prayer and didn't know how. And so in a moment of intensity and ecstasy, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a whistle, the thing that he had made himself. And pouring his whole prayerful soul, he blew upon that whistle and startled the whole congregation, shocked that someone dared to blow a whistle in the midst of the sacred service of Yom Kippur. But the tzaddik, the Wunderrebbe, suddenly arose. And for the first time, there was the light of a smile upon his face. And he turned to his congregation and said, I feel for the first time this day as though the gates of prayer were being opened. And I believe too that it is the wild whistle of this poor orphaned lad that unlocked for us the gates that we could not unlock. It is not words in prayer that count. It is the intent. It is what the heart says, in whatever way it says it. And, said the rabbis, men should not pray for themselves alone. Abraham did not pray for himself. He prayed for the wicked city of Sodom. Prayed to God to save it, argued with God to save the wicked men and women of Sodom. And Moses never prayed for himself. Vayitpalel Moshe be'adham. Moses prayed for the people, whenever they sinned. And so often they were so stubborn, stiff-necked. And so often they wished to stone Moses. But Moses always prayed, not for himself. He prayed for his people. Only once did he pray for himself. At the close of his life, he wanted to enter the promised land toward which he had led this rebellious host of erstwhile slaves for 40 years. Let me enter the land. And that prayer was denied to Moses. This is how we should pray, said the rabbis, in utter reliance upon God, whose ways are incomprehensible to us, in humility, with one's whole heart, for others, and not always for ourselves last, and always in the spirit of outpouring thanksgiving. And for our trials and our suffering, as well as for our joys. For there is no light without shadows, and there is no joy without sorrow. But even such prayer of the heart is not enough. There is a second part to the service of the heart. Loving kindness. Loving kindness. Not doing justice. Not obeying the law. That goes without saying. But something much more. We may act justly because we have been trained to be just, or because society expects it of us. We may obey the law because we fear the punishment in the violation of the law. That's not enough. The service of the heart, the service that we render our fellow men, must be that of loving kindness. The rabbis called it milut chasadim, loving kindness. The Torah, they said, begins with loving kindness and closes on the note of loving kindness. A man should be more than just. Thou hast been told, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, to do justly? Yes. But the prophet Micah does not stop there. To love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. To be compassionate, to be forgiving, not always to insist on what is mine, even if I say what is thine and thine. Frequently to say what is mine, I share with thee. Frequently to make sacrifices that others may live and have a chance in life. The rabbis laid great stress upon this quality of gemilut chasadim. They said that a man who only observes the laws of the Torah or as the strict laws defined in legislation. Do me kemishi ein lo eloa is like a man who has no God at all. Do we want of God only justice? Could any man survive if God judged him according to his deserts? We ask of God to be merciful, forgiving, to look upon our weakness, that we are mortal. Give us another chance and another chance. Well, if that is what we ask of God, we must ask it also of ourselves in relation to our fellow men. Ze Eli, this is my God, ve anvehu, and I will extol him. The rabbi said, anvehu means ani, I, vehu, and he. Just as I want God to be rachum vechanun, merciful and forgiving, so I must try in my own circumscribed human way to be merciful, helpful, not to speak the hard word, not to be cruel in our judgments of men, whether of the living or of the dead. To go through life kindly. I will take away the stony heart, says the prophet Ezekiel in the name of God. I will take away the stony heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh, a human heart. That's the heart of religion. And the service which a man can render to his God, and the highest service which a man can render to his fellow man, is the service of the heart. Not always the service of the hand. Sometimes a man doesn't need the charity that you can give him, the money or the material thing. Sometimes all that man wants is a kind word, something that will build up his morale, something that will give strength to his spirit. You can give that loving kindness to rich and poor, to the learned and to the ignorant, to everybody, because nobody can go through life unless someone at some stage in life gives him gmilut chesed, the acts of loving kindness. May we keep this great teaching of our religion constantly in mind. The avedat halev, the service of the heart, the only service which is acceptable to God, and the only service, really, the only service which is profoundly and gratefully and helpfully acceptable to our fellow men. Amen.